We'll get started. We want to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting. All of our council members are present, with the exception of Councilman Tishner, who is away, and Councilwoman Martin is joining us electronically. So we welcome everyone here, and particularly we want to acknowledge Troop 4989 from Harriman. Good to have you here, young men. We appreciate you being here. We'd like to begin tonight by invocation by Gavin Hebertson, and then the pledge by, under the direction of Scout Troop number 4989.
Quote from God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood.
I'm proud to be American, or at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the bunch of dads who do that right to me.
Join in us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
2. Olive Garden Retreat.
Thank you, Troop 4989. We also have another troop here. Would somebody like to stand up and introduce your troop to us? Come up to the microphone and take 10 or 15 minutes and tell us a little bit about it. Just tell it to your troop.
This is Troop 1798.
Okay. From, you're from Harriman?
Mm-hmm.
Great. It's wonderful to have you here with us. Anything you'd like to add why you're so proud of this troop?
They just like to work hard.
Good. Wonderful. Are you getting a merit badge or working on a merit badge tonight?
Yes.
Terrific.
You have to stay for the whole thing for it to count.
we'll be done about 11. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Do we have any other scout troops that I haven't recognized? Okay. Great. Thank you, young man. We appreciate you. And if you stay after our meeting, we're certainly available to answer any questions you have. Feel free to come up, and would love to visit with you. Okay, just wanted to make a couple of recognitions or announcements. I don't know if you heard, Coralie, you've been traveling. Dave Bastian passed away. He's been a longtime neighbor here, farmer of north of town, and it was his funeral today, and we extend our condolences to he and his family. We'd also like to, I want to reach out and express appreciation to our cemetery staff. We had a resident who stopped by, and her husband's buried out in the cemetery, and stopped by, and mentioned how beautiful the cemetery is and how much she appreciated the work that was taken and involved in keeping our cemetery so wonderful. So just wanted to express or announce that and let our cemetery crew know that they're appreciated and they do wonderful work to help our community. Okay, any recognition by the councils?
Yes, I'd like to make a couple recognitions, and then I'll probably lean on our youth mayor to perhaps help me with one other. The Harriman Choir, Orchestra, and Band from the high school had the opportunity this past week to attend competitions and festivals in New York City and represented the community in our school very well. The orchestra took a silver and a first place in their category, and the band took a first place both in their category as well as a grand champion overall. And then I will lean on our youth mayor. Abby, would you come up and please announce the choir's standing, as Abby's one of their choir members?
So our choir department had four different choirs competing, and they all placed really well. We all got gold scores. So our a cappella choir took first place. Our Conti choir, which is an all-ladies choir, they got second place. And then our Vivace choir, which is also an all-ladies choir, got first place. And then our chamber choir got second. And then overall, we took the entire competition. So, yeah.
So congratulations to Harriman High Music Department. Thanks, Abby.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Sarah, do you have anything? Nicole, do you have any recognitions you'd like to make? Nicole?
Oh, yes.
Do you have any recognitions?
Oh, no. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we will go into our public comment portion of our meeting. Audience members may bring any item to the mayor and council's attention. Comments will be limited to 2 or 3 minutes. State law prohibits the council from acting on items that do not appear on the agenda. And just as a reminder, the council, we've taken a position that we will not get into an exchange. If someone asks us questions, we will direct you, though, to find some solutions to some of your concerns that you might have. So seeing that, we'll open that portion of our meeting, and we have got one comment form. Tawny Hawker, would you like to come forward? Just actually say your name and your address, Tawny, if you would, please.
Okay, it's Tawny Hawker, and at 4731 West Coppermine Drive, Harriman, Utah, 84096. Okay, I am just here to talk about the budget that you're voting on later, about the total of $74,300 being spent towards Black Ridge Reservoir. I know that they had a public hearing a little bit ago about it, but I was never made aware. I never knew it was there. And so I wanted to make sure my voice was heard, that we don't live next to it, and I understand there's frustration with it, but I also know that this is a lot of money that's going to all of the residents for a couple people having frustrations. We have in Copper Creek, we have a soccer field that is overran on Saturdays. You do not drive on those roads. People can't get out and out of their driveways. But it's part of living next to a park. All of us agree with it. We all say, yeah, it's crappy. It's bad. But it's part of living next to a park. And so it's frustrating to see that this much money is going to solve that when there's a lot of that throughout everywhere. So that's it.
Thanks, Tawny.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Anyone else like to comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close our public comment portion of our meeting and go into any mayor council comments on board or committee reports. Anyone have anything to report?
Apparently the public garden is getting going.
Okay, good.
There's a meeting tomorrow, I was just made aware of.
Okay, good. Nicole, do you have any reports on committee assignments you'd like to make?
Just very briefly, we had a meeting of the Association of Municipal Councils with Salt Lake County Parks and Rec. A couple of the comments they made that I think would be of interest to Harriman residents is, one, they're going to start a dog park study that's valued at approximately $250,000. I think that might be something that Harriman would be interested in seeing the results of. Certainly we have a community that has many, many dogs, and so, again, trying to understand what the need is or perhaps what the deficit is of dog parks in Salt Lake County would be interesting as we look to planning, you know, in the future. A couple of the other elements they mentioned, and I think it will come as no surprise to some, that pickleball is becoming hugely popular. and those communities that have put pickleball courts in are seeing waiting lines. It's just really a growing kind of fun sport for families. One bit of advice that they did give for those communities looking to seriously consider bringing that into their community and have success with it is that they look at a minimum of 20 courts so that you can have tournaments of sorts. And so, again, I think that's something as Harriman's looking forward to planning. If pickleball is one of those recreational elements that we're interested in, that we look to plan accordingly and have the size that would make us have a good amenity in our city. And that's it, Mayor.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else have any? Okay. I just want to make comment. Last week we had our Utah League of Cities and Towns meeting in St. George, and Nicole, I wanted to compliment you. You did a wonderful job. She had one of the breakout sessions on enhancing communication in our community, and thank you so much for the good job you did. And I wanted to also mention that in some of the PowerPoint slides, you used some of Harriman's innovative methods that they are used in getting out communication, and that's a tribute to Tammy and her staff and the things she's doing to help improve our communication in our community. I also wanted to make mention our Art Council have selected a cast for the Mary Poppins. Harriman Live Talent Show is April 23rd, and we have a new Harriman Choir Director, Emily Berbert. So we're grateful that good things are moving forward. Okay, we'll now go on to item 4A. We have on our reports, presentations, and appointments. Susan Schilling, we'll have you come forward, if you wouldn't mind, a Night of Heroes presentation.
Hello, my name is Bren Robinson, and I'm here tonight representing the Southwest Valley Chamber. Every March, we have an event, the chamber, that honors heroes in our communities, and we would like to take a moment here to recognize someone who was unable to attend that night, Madeline Freeman, who was recognized as the Volunteer of the Year, and we have a PowerPoint presentation that we'd like to show.
This is scary.
Sorry. I can make a play. Are you ready?
Yes.
Just tell me when to click.
It should automatically do it. There should be sound.
Oh, there's sound.
Let's just go ahead if that's okay.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I'm going to try and remember a little bit about, which way do you want me to face? Okay. I'm going to try and remember what was in the presentation. But Madeline, a few years ago, her sister was diagnosed with cancer, and
it metastasized throughout her body and went to her brain after they thought she was in remission. And also in this period of time, she had a brother who had unfortunately died and passed away. And she took these causes to her heart, and she was able to start or help with Relay for Life. And as she helped with Relay for Life, she was able to be a volunteer for that, and she helped it be a very successful program last year. And that's what this what we honor our heroes from last year. And would you go to the next slide? One of the reasons that we picked Madeline was because she took something that was close to her heart, and she made a difference. We're looking for people who take things and change who they are and change the community. And that's why we were able to honor Madeline this year. Would you go to the next slide? One of the things she obviously has, family is very close and dear to her. And even though she's very busy, and this year she wasn't able to do Relay for Life, she is still willing to and able to donate to cancer. She's running a marathon or half marathon this year for cancer research. And we just want to thank her for all that she's done and honor her and give her the honor of being Volunteer of the Year for 2005 Night of Heroes.
2015. Hug all the volunteers?
I just want to say one thing.
I thought you were going to say, he usually kisses all the volunteers.
I think that we can do a lot of things to help people. It doesn't need to be cancer research or anything, but if you're looking along that line, Relay for Life this year will be held at Butterfield Park in Harriman on June 25th. From 5 in the evening until about midnight. So.
Great.
Next on our presentation, we have the Utah State University Youth Council Leadership Report, and they attended a leadership conference up at Logan, and it was just Councilman Moser and I and Destiny and Tammy.
Did I miss anybody else?
All attended, and was just a very worthwhile event. And so we thought it would be very appropriate for, is one of you going to report, or how did you work it out? Ah.
How are you tonight? Appreciate the opportunity to stand before the mayor and the council. I was unable to attend because I had a family wedding, which was lots and lots of fun. But I'm here to present some of our youth council that attended. And what an honor to help advise them. Actually, I'm learning more from them than they are from me, but what a great group of young people we have. May I also thank the scouts. If you look at this, if you look what's here tonight, the majority is our youth. And when we look at our demographics, and we know that the average age is 25 years old, you know, we can see it. But what an honor to have our youth council, and I appreciate the council for allowing it to be what it is today. You know, Craig Tischer started it, and it's grown and it's developed. Coralie is our liaison with the council, and she's marvelous. We get along really well. We wear the same colors all the time. So I'm going to introduce our mayor. She's going to come up and speak, and then the rest, those that want from the youth council that choose to speak, will come up and present themselves, their name, and positions, if they have a position. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Mayor Abbey.
Hello, I'm Abigail Chapman, and as Raquel said, I'm the youth council mayor, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity that we had to go up to Logan a few weekends ago. We got to meet with several leadership superstars and learn their tactics and their abilities, and that was super awesome. And we were also able to meet a lot of other kids from other youth councils and glean off of their ideas and what they're working on in their youth council so we can, I guess, incorporate the ideas into our council. And I'm just thank you for allowing us to go to this camp this year, and I highly suggest going again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tanner Vasica, and I'm the secretary on the Harriman City Youth Council. I'd also like to thank the city for letting us go on this, and I also highly recommend going to it again. I feel like it's a great opportunity for the youth council to grow closer with one another and be able to cooperate better. It's just a good way to learn good leadership skills. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tanner.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hale. I'm the PIO over the newsletter. And I would just like to express my appreciation for going. I especially liked learning through the scavenger hunt that we did because it was really interesting to see our youth council mesh together and like overcome the challenges through that together. It was really fun. I would especially like to encourage also our youth council being more incorporated in this and perhaps like hosting a breakout session or something like that in the future.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Celianda Rome, and I'm in charge of the agenda and minutes. And I really liked going to Logan with Youth Council. I got to learn a lot about all my peers on the council, and it was really fun because I got to know them better. I learned that being part of a council is working together and accomplishing tasks, and I would definitely have it being able to do it in the future because it was super fun, and we all got to get to know everyone in other councils, and it was super fun. So, yeah.
Thanks, Sally.
Wanted to mention that I know that there's been a lot of kids that have been out late this week with different things. I just wanted to know that if they need to leave before the council meeting's over, it'll be okay, so they can go do their homework.
Thank you. Let me just make mention, and McCorley, you want to make some comment, but, you know, I enjoyed the leadership, but, you know, I probably more than anything enjoyed having a couple of days with these youth, and I know some of them personally and got to know some that I didn't know as well. But I want to report to the city and everybody that's here, they conducted themselves wonderfully, and they were a great example to the city. And we stayed in a hotel and shared that hotel with other cities. And I can tell you, they were above reproach. They went to bed. They got in the rooms when they should have, when other groups are running and back and down the halls. They represented this city very well, and I'm very proud of each of them. And part of being youth council is to learn and to offer service. But, you know, when you wear that shirt and you represent, you come from this city, you represent it in every way. And I want to just report how proud I am of each of them for their conduct and their interest in our city and the things they've done.
Agreed. The youth council had a good time, but more importantly, they had a lot of opportunity to learn new techniques and skills, as well as hear from very important public officials, including Attorney General Sean Reyes, on what attributes make a good leader and some information that's helpful to understand government. So I felt this was a good use of our city funds to ensure that the youth had the foundation that they needed to contribute to our community, and I know that they're making contributions now and will make even more contributions through their service at events and other tasks that they'll perform for us through the next few months and years. So we appreciate them for taking the time out of their schedule. They had to miss a day of school, which it sounds like it's great, except for they have to make up all their work, so it's sometimes more of a burden to miss school. So we appreciate them making that sacrifice and being dedicated to learn together. So thank you, youth. You've done a great job.
Okay, thanks again. We'll move on to item 4C, Arbor Day Proclamation by Jacob Ernest.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, you're fine, Jacob.
Good evening, and I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity for being here tonight. And I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Jacob Ernest. I am an employee of Harriman City's Parks Department, and I'm here tonight to present the 2016 Arbor Day Proclamation. And with your guys' permission, I would go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Horticulture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, and whereas this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce life-giving oxygen, and provide habitats for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for construction of our homes, fuel for our fires, and beautifying our community. And whereas trees in our city increase property value, enhance the economy. Of our businesses and beautifying our community, and whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal, now therefore do I, Mayor Freeman of Harriman City, proclaim this Friday, or the last Friday of April, as Arbor Day in the city of Harriman, and urge all citizens to plant trees in gladness to gladden their hearts and promote a well-being of this and future generations. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I just want to take a minute, Jacob, while you're standing here. Jacob does a wonderful job. And we will go out to, you know, we're going to do that, I think, in the next couple of months, aren't we, Jacob, going out to the elementaries and planting a tree.
Yes.
Do you want to comment on that?
Yes. This year we have three elementary schools. As of right now, we're still waiting on two that are on board with having us come and present a little presentation to them and plant a tree somewhere on their school grounds.
So yeah, and Jacob takes a few minutes and talks about the benefits of trees and how they impact our environment and such. So Jacob does a wonderful job. So part of this award and recognition that we've had is to Jacob's benefit and what he's done for our city. So we appreciate him.
I'd also like to mention that yesterday we received our Tree City USA Award, 9 years and still going.
Good. Wonderful. Okay, Council, I will accept a motion to approve.
A motion to approve the 2016 Arbor Day Proclamation.
Second.
Okay, a motion second. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I vote yes. That motion carries. Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, Jacob.
Item 5, I should have mentioned this first. I apologize. We have canceled that, and we'll request that be removed from our agenda for this evening. We'll move to item 6A in our section on discussion and action items. Discussion and consideration of ordinance to adopt the amended project area plan for the Harriman Business Center Community Development Project Area dated March 2016. John?
This is the ordinance that just implements the resolution you passed as part of the CDA.
Okay. Any discussion by council on that item? I think we talked about it. I just make note from a public perspective, we talked about that in our work meeting. We talked about it during our CDA meeting, so I think we've discussed it sufficient, so I'll accept a motion.
Motion to approve ordinance number 2016-12, adopting the amended project area plan for the Harriman Business Center Community Development Project Area, dated March 2016.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none. Carly?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I vote yes. That motion carries. We'll now move to item 6B, discussion consideration of a resolution granting an exception to the commercial building criteria for a soccer academy. Rin?
Let me get the pictures up here for you. So this is, commercial buildings are required to meet certain design criteria and standards. So the ordinance does allow for an exception to be approved by the City Council. So the Planning Commission saw these elevations last week, and they did recommend approval of the exception, so that's why you're seeing it now. This is for the Soccer Academy building. So again, these are the elevations. And then these are the prettier renderings of the property. So again, the Planning Commission recommended approval. The one item that they noted in their recommendation was the building is steel and CMU basically, and their recommendation was that 25% of the CMU portion be the split-faced CMU to break up that building a little bit. And I believe the architect is here, so they probably answer more technical questions if you want to ask them. The other issue would be that 25% is not in your ordinance, so add that to your motion if you want to add that. And then, again, I would also the ordinance talks about resolution. It's a resolution, isn't it? Talks about if we're going to grant an exception, we always want to have a reason. So, again, the Planning Commission just talked about the unique nature of this building, and also it isn't a commercial zone. It's not necessarily a retail building, a typical commercial. It's a recreation facility, so just a couple things you might want to point out if you want to in making a motion.
And for the public's interest, would you define what CMU is? Because that's maybe not a common term.
Oh, it's just
I think it's concrete.
The architect might be able to
Why don't you come forward?
Concrete
if you
block,
mind.
If I may, Grin, just also for the public, maybe just give them a brief overview of what the ordinance is that we're giving an exception to.
Sure, there you go. Good idea. The ordinance requires 60% brick or stone on all commercial buildings, decorative brick or stone on all elevations of commercial buildings, so around all sides of a commercial building. But again, it does allow the City Council, with a recommendation from the Planning Commission, to grant an exception to that in unique situations. And also, where they have approved design guidelines, this is part of a larger PUD that has design guidelines that cover the entire property. So that's also one of the other requirements for the exception.
Would you like to answer the question?
Yeah.
Eric Migach with EDA Architects, and that's MIGACZ, 9 Exchange Place, Suite 1100, Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And to answer this highly technical question, Brent, CMU stands for Concrete Masonry Unit, and that's concrete block, or as we like to say, cinder block. And what we're proposing is a combination of honed, which exposes kind of the aggregates inside the block, and split face, which makes a nice color combination. And as Bray mentioned, the idea is to help break up the large scale of the building with that approach.
Are you okay with that 25% criteria?
Yes, we think that's a good proportion, let's say, of the honed to the split face. The comments that we made in the Planning Commission meeting the other night if it were all CMU or split face, rather, it might appear a little too heavy. And it's by combining those two materials that we break that up and
Can you talk a little bit about the color coding? Because I know Deloy, when we talked to him, he was really excited about the...
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay.
As everyone here, I'm sure, knows, the colors of the Real Salt Lake are red, blue, and yellow. And so Deloy, the owner of the building, asked us to find a way to incorporate those colors into the building in a way that's fun, I could say, and kind of, again, breaks up the large scale of this building. Because if you can imagine, what we're looking at here is something that's large enough to enclose two football fields, if you look at it that way. And so the approach was to bring these colors into the building in combinations of red, blue, and yellow. We suggested almost tongue-in-cheek in one of our meetings with Deloy that looks like a Mondrian painting. And if you're familiar with Mondrian, mm-hmm. he was an abstract expressionist painter in the early part of the 20th century, and he liked to combine those colors in abstract patterns. And Deloy got a kick out of that. And that's sort of become the theme of the building now.
Good. That was a beautiful building.
Oh, thank you very much.
Any other discussion? Thank you so much.
Mayor, you will...
Yes, go ahead.
Mayor, are you opening that up to discussion by the council?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, so I apologize if this has been said because I can't hear some of the conversation. I would just say this. Obviously, the standards that we have in place are very important for a community to maintain the integrity and look. In this case, and in very rare cases, we make exceptions because it makes perfect sense. And in the building that we're looking at here, the building proposed is meant to make an iconic statement and be an extension of the Real Salt Lake brand, which, of course, benefits Harriman because it benefits us by being seen as part of, or having their brand be seen prominently in our community. And so from my perspective, I want to make it clear that I'm all for upholding the standards that we have in place because I do feel it's important for the look and feel. But in this case, the exception supersedes that because it makes the iconic statement that we absolutely want to make to be a destination community and can be, thankfully, with the investment of Real.
Great comment. Anything else?
No, just that the official colors are scarlet, cobalt, and yellow.
Just note that correction. Okay, I will accept a motion.
I will motion to approve resolution R11-2016, granting an exception to the commercial building criteria for a soccer academy and incorporating a few comments, including that this is to include 25% split-faced CMU, and that this is specifically because this is in a commercial zone but is not a commercial retail building, is a recreational use instead. As was mentioned, it has a unique purpose that's part of the reason for the waiver of that ordinance. Additionally, it's part of a larger PUD with its own design guidelines and is to incorporate the branding of Real Salt Lake in the scarlet, cobalt, and yellow.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We'll call for a vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Coralie?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
I vote yes. That motion carries. Now go to item 6C, discussion consideration of an ordinance approving a parking declaration of designation for the neighborhood surrounding Black Ridge Reservoir. And just by note, we had a hearing, what was it, 2 weeks ago? When was it? No, 2 weeks ago. We had a hearing and heard from a number of residents who offered comments, and so... Just I want to make that clarification as we discuss this item. So, Tammy?
I'm going to be the one looking like Tammy.
Okay.
I wanted to just kind of give an update. We did have that public hearing 2 weeks ago, but we've had a number of public hearings over the last 2 years where we've been talking to the public on a number of issues associated with Black Ridge. And through that process, we've implemented a number of different programs for Black Ridge to try to mitigate some of the problems and the impacts that were associated with the heavy use of the reservoir during the summer months. Each of these, we received additional feedback from the community, and the neighbors that are immediately adjacent to the Black Ridge Reservoir requested and have signed petitions asking for the city to implement a parking permit program around the reservoir in the neighborhoods designated on the map. This program is to be implemented from May 1st to September 7th, and it would be from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. What it would mean is during those times, during that time of the year, to park in these areas on the street, in the public street, you would be required to have a city-issued parking permit, which will only be issued to the residents of this area. The permit itself, which we will issue three, a guest and two permanent, will be at a cost to the residents of $25 per our city ordinance. So as a culmination of all the discussions and public hearings, this is the program that had the most support from the residents in this area. And it is these residents that will be impacted by this. No other residents can purchase these permits outside of this area, and it's only allowed for these people to participate in this program. I have a couple of the comments, but I want to know if you have any questions on that.
The question I just had, Gordon, as I mentioned before, we had the hearing, a number of questions, other concerns. Have we addressed those or concerns that some of the residents who are affected by this area, have we addressed those?
So we've had a number of questions and concerns. Some we have adequately addressed, and the others, there's still some pending understanding. And I believe that through this year, next year, one of the decisions made by the council is that we're going to re-review this to see if this should continue on. So the residents, under that understanding, were supportive of moving forward with this. So we can go over a number of the specific concerns or questions, but we've looked at opportunities for people to have neighborhood parties at these times, how we'll address that, what we're going to do if there's other circumstances that arise. So we have addressed that with a number of residents, and we'll make that more published in a specific letter to these residents, and we'll also include it in the citywide newsletter explaining this area so that everybody in the city understands when they drive to this area what it means and the signing and have a better understanding.
Any questions?
The last two. So
maybe, Gordon, if I know this lady mentioned today about the cost. I don't know if we ought to. Do you want to make mention to?
Yeah, we can talk about the cost too. Let me give my last 2 points, and we'll talk about cost. Okay. The two issues is the first, in when we passed the resolution, we omitted to include the seasons, which is May 1st to September 7th. So we want to include that in the document. It's called a declaration of designation. And the second is. We want to include the time, which is 9 to 9. Now, the council certainly could adjust that, but that's what we had received back from the residents. While some wanted all day in different times, that's the one that seemed to carry the most criteria. And in terms of the cost, right now we have patrolling of police in the area basically for the Black Ridge Reservoir because there's a high call volume of that area just because of the high density of visitors to the park, and that's going to be extended into the neighborhood to ticket for people that are parking. This will not pull any officer away from their normal duties. This will be overtime officers that would come up specifically for this purpose. The costs are associated with that to help keep. Last year we had a high report of, I don't want to say criminal activity, but misdemeanor, maybe it's criminal activity. Not a cop, but activity that required police attention and investigation, and we think this extra effort will help alleviate that issue that we haven't experienced elsewhere in the city as a result of this. The other part of this is that in order to enforce the parking, we need sign spacing such that it meets minimum traffic criteria so that when an officer gives a citation that it holds up in court. If the spacing is too far apart, we end up with a situation where precedence has been set that these tickets can be thrown out of court because there's not adequate communication to the public. That's the highest cost for this particular program is the signs. And I want to mention one other issue is that our kind of commitment to this neighborhood is that, and this is for another week, this is going to come up probably within 2 weeks, the council's going to discuss whether they want to put a fee to park in the Black Ridge area, and we wouldn't want to implement that fee unless we implement this parking permit program, because it would just exacerbate the problem of people parking in the neighborhoods if we don't approve this. We staff would strongly recommend not putting a fee on the Black Ridge area parking next week. And that's not a discussion today, but just be aware that has implications.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I'd just like you to go over the cost, and then maybe as we look also at the potential income, if I'd like to get an idea of what we could think of offsetting the cost with the fee at the to park at the facility.
So we anticipate from the neighborhood, the city will probably collect a revenue of between $3,000 to $4,000 a year, I think is what we estimated if everybody participated in the program and bought their permits. The estimated cost, if the council chose, we did a study of what this council can put a fee on the Black Ridge Reservoir. It could be up to $13. We were anticipating the council might consider a $10 fee. If that fee was implemented, there's estimates that that could generate, I'll say conservatively, $30,000 a year, but it could be more depending. But again, the issue wasn't to entice people to go there, so it may drop access. But anyway, $30,000 to $40,000 a year from
that was a parking fee.
I was trying to combine the two, right? So what
would be the net? I mean, that's obviously the gross income. There'd be other costs that would offset that in relation to.
So a one-time fee of the signing, we estimated about $60,000 to $70,000. I think is what we put in there. And then to implement the parking at the Black Ridge Reservoir was about $10,000 to $15,000 to put the materials in there that we needed to put. So it was a total of about $90,000 for both programs. Again, they're both independent. And then the net revenue yearly would be maybe $40,000 per year. And then there's the ongoing cost of additional enforcement, which is about $20,000 a year.
So once the signs are installed, and assuming that this works the way it's intended to, the one-time installation cost of the signs would then not be a recurring cost. So this is
a one-time.
Obviously, there would probably be some maintenance of the signs required, or if something got hit, we'd need to fix that. The real ongoing cost is the staff personnel and personnel time, particularly with the UPD for enforcement. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the really only ongoing cost we're going to see is with the UPD overtime, but once we've covered the cost of the signs, then it's we're not considering any of the ticket cost, which is $40 a ticket. We don't want to use that as a revenue generator, but that would also be revenue that would come to the city. So the parking in here, the ongoing costs, we already have staff people that maintain this area, that park personnel. That would stay flat. It would be roughly the same people. We'd have park and events people that would currently man those areas that would continue on each year, maintaining the same activities they can currently do.
Okay. Comments? Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jared.
Being new to the council, I have a number of concerns about Black Ridge, and to the council's credit, they have been working on this for a number of years and are a long ways down this road, so I'm coming into this just this last few months, but I do have some hang-ups, and I've heard from what I feel is a large contingent of the city, so I would say that it's not only the residents that live around the reservoir that are impacted, it's the rest of the city that pays taxes and fees that are paying for this program. So as was mentioned earlier tonight, everyone pays for it. And I don't know that the general public really understands the one-time costs or the recurring annual costs. I don't know that that's really been discussed or that information's really gotten to people to disseminate. So I kind of have some hang-ups with that. The other I have is more of a fundamental one. We've spoken several times in work meetings, and was described again tonight that previous council had kind of decided on a certain course of action or a philosophy of how to handle Black Ridge, which I kind of fundamentally disagree with. And I've heard from a lot of people with similar views that the problem isn't parking. The problem is too many people in a crowded space. My feeling is that this is a great amenity. It's a great recreational opportunity, but it's too good for that location. The primary purpose of the reservoir is for secondary water storage. The park was an afterthought, and it was a good idea, but it was kind of too good of an idea for the location. And at least from my point of view in studying this, it seems that the location itself is kind of fatally flawed for this use. So the problem that I'm having coming to grips with this is a big cost going to something that I don't know that it's really going to fix the problem. What I foresee is ongoing costs of extending the parking area and never really being rid of the problem. I know we're trying to reduce occupancy. I think that there are other ways we can reduce occupancy. Having said that, I know that we're a long ways down this road and something needs to be done to help these residents. So I'm okay with the council proceeding and pursuing this and reviewing it, but I want to give voice to the population that I've heard expressing those concerns that we're really kind of forcing a use on this reservoir. I think a more prudent approach would be to limit what can be done at the reservoir. It's a great park, but I really think that we should look at just restricting swimming and make plans for there. I understand there's tentative plans for possibly a second reservoir. Is now we know what we're dealing with, now we know how to plan appropriately, so maybe restrict the use of this, much less cost impact, and look at doing it the right way on the next one.
And I've heard from residents who have a different perspective, that they appreciate the use of the reservoir as a swimming facility and would like to see it maintained, that the cost invested in it already would be unfortunately lost if we abandon the use of the swimming facility. However, recognizing that it is imposing a great burden on the residents that live nearby. In fact, one of the reasons why I support the parking program for the residential use is because this is a disproportionate effect on those residents, not only from residents that are within our community, but also from residents that are from outside of our community, more so than your average football, baseball, or soccer type of uses. We just have such a high amount of volume because it is such a great facility and because it's been well publicized that this is a great facility. Even on the news reports, they'll indicate that we have this use and it has in the past been a free use and it's been a great attraction for communities and individuals from outside our area. So this disproportionate effect on those neighbors needs to be accommodated, and this parking permit program will help take a step in the right direction. As was indicated by our Assistant City Manager, Mr. Haight, we have done a number of years of study on this. This is not a last minute or an idea we just came up with and are hastily implementing. We've done multiple years of study and research to try to take some measured steps, hoping that each of those would resolve the problem without going to the next step beyond it. And we're to that next step at this point. The residents petitioned, with a majority of residents requesting this. And again, probably many of them would say this wasn't their preference. They'd rather be able to have unrestricted parking in front of their own home and not have to go to the hassle of getting a permit from City Hall. However, the situation exists, and we need to provide an accommodation to resolve that. So my hope in implementing this program, should it be implemented, is that we can continue to work with this neighborhood that's had great ideas. We'll take some additional steps that they brought to us, including red striping certain intersections, improving the signage to direct out-of-area visitors who don't know their way around in and out of the facility, to provide for the increase in police enforcement, provide for a staff increase in assisting with the parking restrictions that may be placed in that area. And then as issues come up, they will continue to have great dialogue with us and we with them on how to continue to resolve those concerns. So hopefully we can continue the great relationship that we've had with the residents. And if things come up and if this doesn't meet the needs of the community, we will continue to address those.
Let me just mention, too, from my perspective, I am kind of young coming into this, too, Jared. But my perspective on supporting the permit program stems from the fact that I believe we need to charge for usage of the reservoir. And if we do that, we're going to push people down into neighborhoods, even more extensive than what's been previously experienced.
I'm sorry, Mary, just to clarify, charge for use of the reservoir or charge for
the park there, sorry. Yes, thank you. So if we charge for parking at the reservoir, then that just pushes more, and which amplifies the need to have permit parking in place. It's been my experience when anything's free, people typically don't have an appreciation for it. We've had litter, we've had criminal activity up at the Black Ridge Reservoir, and it's a wonderful amenity, and I want to keep it for our community, but I think there needs to be a level of responsibility for those who go there. And so from my perspective, yes, I don't like spending money. It's a lot of money to do, but I think the time has come with it being an amenity that's free and easily accessible that it's being overrun, and each year we've seen increased participation in the reservoir. And so in order to do that, I think we need to start charging for parking at the reservoir. And as a result, we need to make accommodations for the neighbors who live in that area who will be affected by that decision by the council. So that's why I'm supportive of moving forward. And yes, I don't like it. It's frightening in some ways to have to spend that much money. But my feeling is we can, if we have the parking fee at the reservoir over the next 2 to 3 years, we should be able to recoup some of the costs that was invested for the permit parking. Nicole, did you have any comment?
Yeah, so of course I echo much of what my fellow council members have said. I would say a few things. Black Ridge, of course, is a wonderful amenity. I think we would all agree for the most part. Of course it has problems, and we would all agree on that front as well. I think in this case, the affected residents have spoken loudly about the need for reparations, and I feel like they've been patient and involved in what has amounted to an extended, and frankly, I've been pleased with the city-citizen communications that have happened here, and they've brought creative ideas to the table. I think the parking permit program as we see it today is truly has come about as a result of both of those ideas, city and citizen, coming together. And what we have with the parking permit program is frankly a citywide option or a citywide tool that is resident-driven by a majority vote. And the residents in question in this area have met the majority threshold, and they should have control of their own destiny, so to speak, just as this ordinance allows for them or any resident across the city as it comes to parking. So with that said, I think the parking permit program is simply a tool. If the residents choose not to use it, then it's not implemented. In this case, they've decided to use it, and I think from my perspective, being responsive to the residents in what they want to do, giving them power over their destiny is really important. The cost is a concern. I share the concern of all of my fellow council members on the cost of this, certainly. But I think there's also a cost on the infringement of personal property that we've seen taken place over the past few seasons, and we have to find a repair for that. We have to, as a city, find a solution to that. And I would just say all of us would agree that no one thing is going to fix this problem. It's going to take a variety of solutions to put into place, but I think we're taking a step forward. We're at least putting a solution forward in the hope that it helps minimize that infringement that we're seeing on personal property. And again, this is something that the majority of residents support. So for all of those reasons, I am supportive of moving forward with this. I do want us to continue to look at the success or failures of this program and adjust accordingly, and of course continue to work with the residents to see what we need to put into place to continue to kind of whittle away at what clearly a problem, while still maintaining a wonderful amenity for our community.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay, I will accept a motion.
I will motion to approve ordinance number 2016-13, approving a parking declaration of designation for the neighborhood surrounding Black Ridge Reservoir, identifying the season as May 7th. Let's see.
It's May 1st.
May 1st through September 7th, and the parking hours from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Got a motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this? Okay. Nicole?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Jared?
I'll preface mine by saying I support the council moving forward, but I have to vote no.
Okay. And I will vote yes. That motion carries 3-1. We'll now go on to item 6D, discussion and consideration of an ordinance adjusting city council districts due to annexation. Jackie? See you, young man.
Thank you, Scout.
Thank you for being here.
Good to have you here.
They were so excited about the election districts. The area known as the Danzy Annexation was not assigned to a council district, and on March 9th, I believe, we discussed this also with the idea of maybe redistricting all of the council districts. I was directed to incorporate the Danzy Annexation into the lowest populated area in that specific council district, which would be District 3, as shown on the map. And then we will revisit the redistricting issue, concern, or the possibilities of that next spring. So I would like to recommend approval of the ordinance.
Okay. Any discussion? Just reaffirm, too, we are a very fast-growing area. We have now currently four districts, voting districts in our city. We have some districts that are not growing as much and others that are growing very rapidly. So as Jackie's alluded to, we will be looking at this issue annually to make certain that the needs of our residents in the respective districts are being represented. So we appreciate Jackie and the work and other staff who've put this together. So I'll accept a motion.
I will motion to approve ordinance number 2016-14, adjusting city council districts due to an annexation.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second. And Jackie, do you need clarification that it will be going into District 3, or was that in the... It's in there. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this issue? CNN will call for a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. That motion carries. The last item on our agenda tonight is discussion and consideration of an ordinance authorizing the exemption to certain impact fees with respect to the development known as RSL Training Facility. John?
You have in front of you an ordinance exempting the RSL Training Facility from impact fees. State statute allows, and so does our enactment, that enact these impact fees that on a broad-based public interest, based on public interest or a broad-based public interest, you can exempt them. But it also requires you to find another source of revenue to pay for that lost revenue. And so what this ordinance does is then direct staff to produce an interlocal agreement with the agency, the interlocal for the RDA, our CDA, and that revenue will be replaced with what we call TIF, tax increment funding.
Okay. So again, just to reiterate, this does not say we're walking away from money. This will just be replaced by another source. The TIF funding will replace the reduction of the impact fees.
Yes.
Okay.
Good clarification, Mayor. And just for the public benefit, I'd like to I highlight on behalf of the council a few points about this to help make sure the community understands. Again, as the mayor pointed out, this is not the city losing money on this at all. We have a community development agency, and the agency has agreements to set aside the increase in the taxes that are that transpire because of this development. So there's a direct benefit from this development to increase those taxes that will gather as the property develops. So those funds will be used to reimburse the city for the impact fees that are waived, and thus the city wouldn't be losing the impact fees. They're replacing it with this other source. So that in this case, the effect to the city is that they would be slightly delayed because they will occur as development occurs.
Okay. Any further discussion? Nicole, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay. I'll accept a motion then.
I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-15, authorizing the exemption to certain impact fees with respect to the development known as the RSL training facility.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll call for a vote. Courtney?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. That motion carries. That concludes our meeting this evening. Let me just highlight some calendar items. Next Wednesday night, we will have a special council meeting to talk about some of our items that we talked about at our retreat earlier this year and discussing them in more detail. The topic of discussion will be on economic development. That meeting will be here at this facility at 5 o'clock. And then on April 21st, we have the Planning Commission meeting at 7. April 27th is our next City Council work meeting at 5 and City Council meeting at 7. Events of note, April 18th and 25th is the community fishing at 6 p.m. at the Cove. April 23rd is the Harriman Live Talent Show at Copper Mountain Middle School. And April 29th is Arbor Day. So seeing that, we accept a motion to go into closed session.
I'll motion to convene in closed session for the purpose of discussing pending or reasonably imminent litigation, to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual as provided by Utah Code Annotated 524205.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Roll call vote. Corey?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I vote yes. We will go into closed session. And let's set the time 8:15. Would that be okay? We'll take a brief break.
Thank you, Mayor.
Well, just to see the motion to go out of our city council meeting. Is that after the call? Okay. Thank you. We appreciate everyone being here and enduring to the end. Thank you.